Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 44. Yat sa anubande asati deha yehe mama aham iti uda duragrahanam pumsam su duram vasita api puryam vajrema tat te bhagavan para abjam. Yat sanubande sati deha gehe.
Yat sanubande sati deha gehe.
Ma maham ityuda duragrahanam.
Ma maham ityuda duragrahanam.
Pumsam suduram vasatopi puryam.
Pumsam suduram vasatopi puryam.
Vajeme tat bhagavan padam jam.
Vajeme tat te bhagavan padam jam.
Yet. Because.
Sa.
Anubande.
Anubande.
Due to becoming entangled.
Due to becoming entangled.
Asati.
Asati.
Thus being.
Thus being.
Deha.
Deha.
The gross material body.
The gross material body.
Gehe.
Gehe.
In the home. Mama,
mama,
mine,
mine.
Aham,
aham,
I,
iti,
thus,
thus.
Uda,
uda,
great,
great.
Deep,
deep.
Duragrahanam,
duragrahanam,
undesirable eagerness,
undesirable eagerness.
Pumsam,
pumsam,
of persons,
of persons.
Su
duram,
far away. Vasita,
dwelling.
Api,
although.
Puryam,
within the body.
Vajrema, let us worship. Tat, therefore. Te, your. Bhagavan, O Lord. Para abjam, lotus feet. O Lord, persons who are entangled by undesirable eagerness for the temporary body and kinsmen, and who are bound by thoughts of mine and I, are unable to see your lotus feet, although your lotus feet are situated within their own bodies. But let us take shelter of your lotus feet. Purport. The whole Vedic philosophy of life is that one should get rid of the material encagement of gross and subtle bodies, which only cause one to continue the condemned life of miseries. This material body continues as long as one is not detached from the false conception of lording it over material nature. The impetus for lording it over material nature is the sense of mine and I. I am the Lord of all I survey. So many things do I possess. And I shall possess more and more. Who can be richer than I in wealth and education? I am Master and I am God. Who else is there but me? All these ideas reflect the philosophy of Aham Mama, the conception that I am everything. Persons conducted by such a conception of life can never get liberation from material bondage. But even a person perpetually condemned to the miseries of material existence can get relief from bondage if he simply agrees to hear only Krishna Katha. In this age of Kali, the process of hearing Krishna Katha is the most effective means to gain release from unwanted family affection and thus find permanent freedom in life. The age of Kali is full of sinful reactions, and people are more and more addicted to the qualities of this age. But simply by hearing and chanting of Krishna Katha, one is sure to go back to Godhead. Therefore, people should be trained to hear only Krishna Katha by all means, in order to get relief from all miseries. Yat sanu bande siti deha gehe amaham ityuda grara dura grahanam punsam sudara duram vasitopi puryam pajema tate bhagavan pudam jam. O Lord, persons who are entangled by undesirable eagerness for the temporary body and kinsmen, and who are bound by thoughts of mine and I, are unable to see your lotus feet, although your lotus feet are situated within their own bodies. But let us take shelter of your lotus feet. Namam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Puristai Bhutai Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanavane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Devasitarana. Prabhupada is giving his purport based on verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with Nunam Pramata Kuru Te Vikarma Yat Indriya Pritya Aprinoti Nasara Manye Yata Atmanoyam Asana Pi Kleshida Ashadeha. That Nunam is usually used as indeed. More or less like an explanation. Indeed, nunam pramata. So people in this material world are certainly pramata. Mad, crazy, bewildered by the modes of material nature, and therefore they're trying to find happiness in a temporary situation. Kurute vikarma. Not only find happiness in a temporary situation, but they're willing to do any kind of activity in order to experience that so-called happiness. Because indriya pritya, they think that love means love for their senses. That love means service to the demands of my senses and my mind. Whatever my mind comes up with, whatever my senses are impelling me to do, this is my love relationship. This is real romance. And I accept so many things, as we'll find out later on. Apumsa, Striya, Maituni, Mituni, Bhavam, Etam, Tayor, Ridya, Granti, Mahu, Tayor, Ridya, Mityo, Granti, Mahu, Ato, Griha, Kshetra, Sutapta, Vitera, Janasya, Moho, Yam, Aham, Mameti. So many things are accepted in this so-called loving affair. Actually, the only loving affair is my demands of the senses and my mind. When I serve them very faithfully, that we call that love. And we may expand it. I may get a wife or a husband, and we may get land, and a to, griha, a house, kshetra, land, apta, sutapta, sutta means children, and apta means relatives, vitar, vitai, or wealth. So I may expand it. Now I think I'm expanding my love, but my love is still the same, limited. Griha vratana. Simply let me serve my mind. It's simply an expansion of my mental conception of being this body, and things in relation to this body are mine. But the basic conception is that there is no God and that I am God. Idam adya maya labdvam. Imam prapse manoratam. Idam astiyam apime bhavishati punaradhanam. Adyo bijanavanasmi konyosti sadrisho maya. Actually, I left that one. Idam adya maya labdvam. Imam prapse manoratam. Idam astiyam apime Bhavishati Panardanam. Asto maya hatak shatror Hanishe chapranapi Ishraham aham bogi Siraham palavansuki Adyo bijanavanasmi Kanyo sti sadrishomaya Yakshe dashami dukmodisha itya gyanam vimohitaha. So this is material consciousness. I'm happy because I'm gaining something. And anything that's preventing my gain becomes my enemy, and by my plans I annihilate them. So no one dares, even thinks about interfering with my plans in the future. Someone knocks down a building in my country, then I just annihilate the whole country. People will think twice about doing anything similar in the future. And I am the Lord of everything, or at least whatever I can possess, this is mine. I am perfect, I am powerful, and I am happy. I am surrounded by so many aristocratic relatives. I shall perform some sacrifice. I'll go to the heavenly planets, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura's commentary, and there I'll find so many apsaras, and I'll kiss them, and I'll rejoice. In this way, the demoniac is bewildered by ignorance. So this is material consciousness, simply manorakam, a mental concoction. It's a mental concoction because it's simply the same thing. A lust is pushing me and I'm trying to satisfy it. Put it out for some very small period of time and then it blazes again in my heart and then I just try and put it out and we call this love. Pumsa Sriya Maituni Bhavam Etam Tayor Ridya Granti Mahu. It is simply a hard knot that's always itching us and we're trying to scratch it. We call the act of scratching love. That service is not really love. It is Paravas Tava Daboda Jato Yavana Jignasita Atmatatvam. As long as one doesn't actually inquire what is the actual object of service of meditation, then one is said to be defeated by the mode of ignorance. Paravastavadabodha jato yavana jignasita atmatatvam yavan kriyastavad idamanovai. And what we get simply from our acts of so-called love, romance, is simply our consciousness becomes more covered. And tavana manovai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. And therefore, because our mind is colored, our consciousness becomes unclear, and because our consciousness is unclear, therefore we have to take another body. So here it says, as other places, that we should hear Krishna Katha. So Krishna Katha, it says, can certainly free us from unwanted family affection. That doesn't mean that if I'm married, I give up my family. We think giving up unwanted family affection means to abandon all my duties. Or my affection for my wife and children has transformed into hate. I hate these people. They have me working so hard and I get very little sense gratification. I was dreaming before I got married, I'd get a nice new slave. And she'd serve me whatever desire arose within my mind and senses, that she would simply throw herself at my feet and offer herself in service. And then I got married and I found out that she also has a mind. She also has senses. And she was also expecting me to throw myself at her feet. And it hasn't worked out. But somehow or another we got these kids and they're a bunch of brats and they demand so much from me. So I hate these people. So now let me appear, be more spiritual. Let me just throw them away or just leave and claim now I'm so much more advanced. I want to take sannyas. No, I'll go away thinking I hate those people. I hate those people. I want to find the real people, the real slave I was always looking for since time immemorial. So that unwanted affection, the so-called renunciation of family life simply means that one will create another family life somewhere else. From lust comes anger. Anger is not a progression. It is simply a further involvement in the material concept of life. And from anger will come illusion. And from illusion will come another family. Therefore, unwanted family affection mentioned here means, instead of material affection, spiritual affection. One doesn't have, one should remain in any circumstance, it doesn't really matter, but one should develop Krishna consciousness. If one develops Krishna consciousness, then one will see even the family in relation to Krishna, and the family won't be any impediment. The affection that one will have for one's wife and children will be in relation to Krishna, and therefore won't be based upon a material misconception of I and mine. So how to develop that consciousness within family life? Because we can see nowadays family life has become in many parts or many families simply a myth. People don't have a real family life. People can't even remember, you know, there's five kids in the family and they all have different parents. And they call it family life. The kids are sent on the street to get their real education on the street from all the other Vana Sankaras that are running around and inhabiting the streets. In Peru they have this children they call piranhas. Piranhas. In South America they have this fish with these big teeth, small little body and big teeth, and they just all eat you up. Whatever falls into the water, they eat up in a few seconds. Because there's thousands of them, and they all take big bites, and the only thing left is the skeleton. If they're not sucking on the bones. So they have these little children in South America called the piranhas, because if you're wandering the street, suddenly a whole mob of piranhas will attack you, trip you up, throw you down, and if you're left with your breath, you're lucky. They don't take your breath away. Everything else has disappeared in a few moments. So this is the training that they've gotten because there's no family life. Family life means I felt like doing it, so we did it. And whatever comes out, if we don't kill it, then we just throw it on the street to get its education. Or we send it to school, become educated just like we were, how to become a big dog and cat. And that's life. And then we make poetry about it, we write books about it. Dr. Spock agrees that that's the best way of doing it. And gradually Kali Yuga increases, and the sinful reactions increase more and more. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya upaudrutaha. Kalena, that apusha shabda, kalavas minugejana. So almost always people have short lives in this age of Kali because they don't follow any principles, Prabhupada says. There's no principle, whatever they feel like doing, they do. So what is the solution to that problem? To do something that will actually take away our material conception of life to give us another conception. So here it says, hearing Krishna Katha. So why is it that the devotees, they may spend years hearing Krishna Katha, but they still have the same sinful desires, the same material conceptions, because they haven't really heard Krishna Katha. Otherwise, if one actually hears Krishna Katha, there must be some change of consciousness. In the second canto it says that after chanting Hare Krishna, and experiencing ecstasy, that the heart doesn't melt, then it's said that the heart is steel framed. Nowadays they actually have steel hearts. They think that's advancement. But according to the Bhagavatam, a steel heart is not an advantage. A soft heart is what's actually necessary. A soft heart for Krishna consciousness. Not, as it says elsewhere, that there are different types of weaknesses of the heart. The first weakness of the heart is our material misconception that this is I, the body, and mind. And I want these things for my sense gratification. And then as one wants to gratify, as one gratifies one's senses with different objects, then one develops possession, this feeling of possession. I need this. I need this for my daily fix, my daily gratification. So this causes the weakness of the heart. So this weakness does not mean softness of the heart, it means weakness. One has to overcome that weakness and by properly hearing Krishna Katha. So the first thing of Krishna Katha is to understand what it means. Sometimes we want to jump to the pastimes, as I said before. We want to hear about some nice thing that makes my mind feel good and that, you know, so beautiful, so nice, everything's so sweet there. And now I can just go on doing whatever I want here and just know that everything is very sweet there. Well, first thing, one has to understand very carefully the names of things, because this is the world of names. Second canto explains that we've given names to different things, and then along with those names we've given to everything, we've given that a certain experience. Of course, the name may stay the same, but our experience may change, but still we keep on equating our experience with that name, or that name with our experience. Therefore, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, every word we hear, we simply impose our own personal experience on those words. And we think, now I've understood it. We haven't understood anything. All we've done is reconfirm our own personal experience and think that that's what Krishna is saying. But what we have to do is hear submissively. So that's very difficult, because our false ego, submissive? I've understood everything. Or the false ego is going, you've understood more than anyone else, at least that person. Or these books, they were written by, you know, someone, they didn't know you. Krishna may have spoken it, but that was 5,000 years ago. That was a long time. You have to understand his books according to time, place, and circumstance. And etc. So many different conceptions may rise in our minds when we're reading, but we have to put aside all those different things and try to see what the author is saying or what the speaker is saying, not what I want them to tell me. That the author is saying this, but I don't really know what he's saying, so I have to figure it out what I think he's saying. So we actually have to make an attempt to read the words and then try to see. As I mentioned before, hearing can only begin when we start to see. And seeing, at least in the Vedic literature, has to be consistent. Not that one moment it says that you're actually the Lord, and the next moment says, no, Krishna is the Lord. Or we're all the Lord. Well, who knows who really the Lord is? That the Vedic literature is quite consistent, so we have to see through the eyes of the scripture. We have to see what the word means in context. And then try and see what's being talked about, and then refer to other similar instructions and seeing whether it fits in. And then see whether it actually fits into our experience. That meditation is the only way we can actually make advancement, practically speaking. I mean, there are other ways of making advancement. If we're in a kirtan and someone's very blissful, then we may pick up the fact that this person, you know, we may experience some of the happiness that they're experiencing. So that's called causeless mercy, or good association. But as far as when we're in bad association, and someone is angry, or lusty, or miserable, and full of bewilderment, and they're bewildering us, then we have to take shelter of the instructions to rise above our temporary circumstance to see things transcendentally. So it's not that we can necessarily always be in good association externally, but we have to remain in good association internally by seeing things through the eyes of Scripture, and understanding them practically, according to one's own personal experience. So personal experience is not negated, but the personal experience must be seen in relationship to something that's absolute, because there's nothing but the absolute manifested within this relative world. So because we've forgotten about the absolute, all we do is see the relative world. But when one has come to the absolute platform, then the relative world, each part of the relative world will seem absolute also, because it's seen in relationship to Krishna, and then for us there won't be any more relative world of temporary happiness and distress, or temporary liking and disliking, etc. So how to do that? First of all, we have to examine thoroughly what it actually means, according to what Krishna is saying, and then try to equate it to how we're seeing wrongly, how we can see properly, what it means practically. If I actually saw like that, if I actually accepted like that, then what would I do? Then right away, Maya will tell, then Krishna will give us a whole list of things we're doing wrong. Thinking wrong, feeling wrong, talking wrong, everything we do wrong. We should actually think, oh no, that's not me. Or I don't want to really think about that because I like doing that wrong thing. So if I think too much about that, then I won't get any happiness from doing that wrong thing. So why should I give it up? I shouldn't think so deeply about these things. No, there may be a whole list of things that are wrong. We should actually think, during at least some part of the day, maybe before we take rest, what did I do right today in Krishna's service? What was the happiness I got from devotional service? What did I do today that was right? And what did I do that wasn't right? And try to look objectively. And how could I do it better, etc. How could I give up what I was doing wrong? That's called seeing through the eyes of Scripture. Now, whatever I did, it didn't really matter because tomorrow there would be prasadam. And who knows, maybe tomorrow all my plans will work out somehow or another. No, we actually have to see. And then the next stage is when we actually see, we have to accept what we see in a practical way and then follow. And then see what the result is. See if it actually increases my understanding of Krishna consciousness, my remembrance of Krishna, or it doesn't. We have to test and see. And if it does, we've seen properly and it increases my understanding of Krishna consciousness by some practical activity, then we have to practice doing it so it becomes a habit. And as it becomes a habit, as our consciousness increases, as we forget about our previous thoughts, feelings, and habits, then the result is that we should remember. So remember Krishna, and then we have to see whether we're remembering the right mood of devotion, of service and love. And then if we're doing that, then we can become submissive, and we can feel the presence of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, or we can feel the correct transcendental mood within ourselves. That transcendental mood is that of things like humility and detachment, etc. Then when we chant, when we hear Krishna Katha, it actually will be meaningful, and when we chant it, it'll actually be practical, because we'll be able to have the proper mood. Just like we're singing, Goranga Balite Have Pulaka Sharir Hari Hari Balite Naine Babenir. So we can sing that, as I said before, and it can be, we can sing it very nicely. We can sing it fast, so fast that we can't think of anything, including even the words of the song, so that way our mind becomes a little peaceful. Or we can sing with nice music, so that we can become absorbed in the music and think, oh, how sweet. But we can miss the whole point of singing the song, which is ultimately to actually feel the way Narottam Das Thakur was feeling when he wrote the song. That is, when will actually that day come? Not that there's, it's too far away. It's just too far away. I mean, why should I even think about it? I can't understand how to even get there. So why should I even worry about when that day will come? But it's a nice song anyhow. Because, no, you should actually think, when will that day come? No, it's not for me. I'm in the bodily concept of life. And I may even be this body for all I know. And I can't really get too anxious to get out of the bodily concept of life. It's too confusing. My brain gets all agitated every time I think about getting out of the material world. And no, so forget it. Don't think too deeply about the whole thing. No, we should actually think, oh, how nice it would be if I was actually so absorbed in remembering Lord Chaitanya and his associates and their pastimes that when I was calling out the name of Gauranga, then actually, by their association, all kinds of ecstasy went through my body, all kinds of feelings of ecstasy and love, so that my body started to shake. And then when I was calling and remembering Lord Chaitanya, I could remember his feelings of separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, and the sweetness of their pastimes so overwhelmed me that when I was calling out the name of Hari, tears were coming from my eyes. Of course, Lord Chaitanya prays in the same way. Everything that we're doing is based on the Shikshastika prayers. And there are different stages before that, like Trinatha. First of all, Anuragaha, that we should see that I'm committing offenses and we should feel bad about it. That I don't have attachment for this Krishna Katha. Therefore, we have to develop certain things like humility, tolerance, appreciation of others, not trying to massage our false egos. Then if we do that, then we can actually chant. If we get trained up like that, then we can actually, our chanting improves. Then our absorption of Krishna consciousness improves, and then the attraction for wealth and followers and beautiful ladies or men or whatever else there may be, or even liberation from the material world, will gradually diminish and will actually be interested in becoming Krishna conscious. That will be interested in rendering actual service to Krishna out of love. Then we'll aspire for being able to chant Hare Krishna or the name of Gauranga so the tears will actually come from my eyes and that my body will shiver. And how to get there? Of course, Narottam Das Thakura says that we should pray for the mercy of Lord Nityananda so that material desires will seem insignificant. We should render service under the guidance of the disciplic succession. Then material desires will be seen insignificant. Then my attraction for sense objects will diminish. My mind will become pure and I'll be able to see Vrindavan. That will be accomplished by studying very carefully the works of the Goswamis, putting into practice their teachings. So if I do that constantly, consistently, enthusiastically, then my life will gradually improve and become, I'll make improvement in the spiritual consciousness, and I'll be able to appreciate what Krishna Katha is. But if I think Krishna Katha, I've read these books already, I know what the books are in the books, I've heard this so many times, but hearing it, if we could hear it once, actually hear it once properly, we'd be in the spiritual world and we'd never return. But because we don't know how to hear properly, and we're not, that's alright, but our next stage is that we should at least want to hear properly and gradually learn how to hear properly. Therefore we talk about how nice it is to hear. If we can just understand one word or some words, some phrase, think about it deeply, try to understand what it means, what its result should be, Prema Kumarta Mahan, how it will actually help me develop the proper mood so that gradually love and appreciation develop. That if I learn how to see the Bhagavatam, because that's all the Bhagavatam is, that's all it's talking about, every word in the Bhagavatam is meant for that. Dharma prayojita kaitavotra paramo nimatsaranam siddham. Vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatra la mulana. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not concerned with economic development or material religiosity, or economic development meant for sense gratification and impersonal liberation, it kicks these out as kaitava, as cheating processes. But it's meant for pure-hearted persons who want to understand the real reality, the vastu of things. And if one understands the real vastu of things, the real form of things, the real understanding of things, then the result is tapatrala mulanam. It uproots the threefold miseries. So the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is first of all to give us an idea of how things actually are. So we have to be able to see things through the words of the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam may talk about all kinds of things. Devahuti is approaching, Aditi is approaching Kasyapa, and the wrong time to conceive a child, and two little bouncing babies are born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, terrorized the universe and simply wound up causing problems for themselves and everyone else. So the Bhagavatam talks about everything. The right way of doing things, the wrong way of doing things, so we can see properly how I'm doing things, whether it's the right way, the wrong way, how to approve it. It's not meant for little stories about demigods and demons and big demons, little demons, and all kinds. It's meant to actually give us a vision for ourselves, how to act properly and how not to act, so that we can gradually make some improvement. Then we'll be able to not only love our families, but love everyone also. It's not meant to limit our love. It's not that when I become Krishna conscious that I love only a certain group of people. By loving Krishna, one learns to love everyone. And the other point, since I memorized a verse today, so at least went over a verse, I might as well use it in class. Krishna Bahir Mukha Hana Bhogavancha Kari Japitam Nikatasta Maya Tare Japatiya Dare. So Maya is right there. She is much more expert than any of us can hope to be, much more expert than I can hope to be. She knows exactly what our consciousness is. So no matter what anyone says in class, no matter what our experience, Maya knows exactly what our weak point is. She never brings up our strong points. She knows exactly what our weak point is. And she'll always bring it up. Krishna Bahir Mukha. We've already turned away from Krishna. We've turned our face. Just like we gave the verse the other day. Mukha Vikara Shustuni Stevenam Cha. That Yamunacharya, he says, every time I think of my previous desires to sense gratification, my lips curl in disgust and I want to spit at the thought. Mukha vikara means my face curls up, makes it a nasty looking face, and I just want to exceedingly I become disgusted. So Krishna Bahir Mukha means that we become exceedingly disgusted even at the thought of Krishna. Every time we think about Krishna, he's enjoying so much that we become disgusted. At least in material consciousness. Those who are in material consciousness think like that. Krishna Bahir Mukha Hana Boga Vanchitare. Akare. Because we have so many desires for sense gratification. And Maya is standing right next to us. As Krishna is within our heart, so Maya is with us too. Nikatasta Maya Tare. With him, Tare means him, and Japatiya means slaps down. Dare. Slaps him down. So Maya knows exactly what to do to get rid of our Krishna consciousness. So we should understand that it's a fight against Maya. And it's not always so gross. Sometimes it's very subtle. So we should know how to fight against Maya. Maya will say, well, you did it yesterday. Just do it again today. It wasn't so bad yesterday, was it? It'll be better today, I guarantee you. Or your money back, guaranteed. But Maya, you didn't refund the other time. Oh, well, I'm sorry. You know, I'll give you back double this time. Don't worry. Take it easy. I'm your friend. I love you. I've been with you since time immemorial, right? Everyone else has left you. But I'm always with you. I'm a person you can always rely upon. I'll always give you good advice. Oh, Maya goes, yeah. Whack! But Maya, I just got slapped down. Oh, I'm sorry. I just need a little bit more experience, that's all. You're just not experienced enough. It's, you know, time immemorial goes real quick, doesn't it? Just need a little bit more experience and everything will be all right. So we have to be a little cautious. Maya will always give us the same old tricks. So we actually go through the tricks, make up a little schedule without the tricks in them, a little schedule for the tricks. Maya wants me to do this today. Maya wants me to do that. Schedule it into my agenda. A little time for Maya. No, if we just schedule Maya out and put Krishna in, then certainly our devotional service will improve. Krishna will become happy, and even Maya will become happy. Everyone will become happy, and even I'll become happy. So that's the purpose. So, thank you. Any questions? Of course, Moses is still for myself. But anyway.
It's actually possible in Krishna's stage of existence to not impose your experience on the
No, it's not possible. Therefore, we should impose other people's experience. In other words, it's not that we want to negate our experience. Just like in the second chapter, Lord in the Heart, text number 35. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, first of all, he tells us that we should understand three things. There's us, the soul, there's the material energy consisting of three modes, and then there's Krishna. So it's not that we have no other way of seeing things except for our present conditioning under the modes. The other opportunity is to see things the way Krishna sees things. So Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary way of seeing through that. But we can understand that we can't see things perfectly just by reading Bhagavad Gita, that there must be another way of seeing things, or we have even to read Bhagavad Gita, to see through Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, there's three things that we can do, three mechanisms. There's our intelligence. So our intelligence is certainly, if we see things through our intelligence, we can see beyond the modes. If we have real intelligence. Then the other thing is the scriptures. So the scriptures will help fertilize our intelligence. Dharmyam sambhadam avyo jnana jagnena tenaham ishtaksvam itamemiti. The Krishna declares that one who studies the sacred conversations of mine worships me by his intelligence. So we can read the scriptures. But the most important out of all of that is we have to hear from the super soul either within our heart by praying to him to please kindly in a prayerful mood read the books in a very reverent mood, just like sometimes they offer flowers to the books, and they do all kinds of things. Respect the book as if it was actually Krishna. And if we approach the book very prayerfully, the knowledge very prayerfully, then we'll be if without. Then there is much more likely that the knowledge will be injected within our heart by the mercy of the super soul. So whether it be the book, or someone explaining about the book, or acting according to the book, if we approach things very prayerfully, then the super soul, by his mercy, can actually give us a high revelation by developing that prayerful service attitude. So out of all the factors, that's the most important. But without developing the first two, it's unlikely we'll understand the third as the actual means for our going back to the spiritual world. Well, that's one of the things we should analyze, how much I'm analyzing things. Oh, we should see. It says there are nine processes of devotional service, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So those are our activities that we're supposed to perform. And then part of that is our devotional activities. So we should see how much I'm actually engaging my body, my mind, and my words, in Krishna, and my intelligence in Krishna's service under the direction of authorities. And if I'm doing that, And if the result is I'm actually developing more and more consciousness of Krishna in all circumstances, and the good, manifesting good qualities in my different interactions, then that's positive. And if I'm doing the same thing over and over again, every time I see a certain person, this feeling comes to my heart, I want to grab them and choke them to death. But due to my good qualities, I don't do them, I just turn my face from them in disgust, and talk bad about them whenever I get the opportunity, feel good about it. I really put that guy down. So, if we're doing that, then we should analyze and see whether it's actually developing my devotional feelings or not. Where is it actually leading me to? So we should analyze things like that. That every time this little beep beep comes to my heart, take a nap, and immediately I throw myself in the bed and sleep for 2 hours. I had a complete submission and obedience to that little beep in my heart. It felt bad for a second. I have to do it. I gotta do it. I always do it. It's my routine. So we have to analyze it. Whether I'm really tired, you know, whether it actually helps my, you know, so we have to look at things like that. Yes. I mean, generally because because the modes of nature are so mixed up in Kali Yuga. Therefore, they think I gone through the ceremony. Just like we think, I sat down, I chanted my rounds, and nothing happened. So the process doesn't work. I sat down and chanted my rounds, and my mind was everywhere except in Krishna. That's why it didn't work. So it's not that we should stop chanting our rounds, but we should put our mind on Krishna. That's all. It's just to make it easier. If we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's supposed to be just easier to think about Krishna. Similarly, the samskaras, which probably didn't really recommend, but he also recommended that we chant Hare Krishna without any offense. We don't take that up, so therefore we take up something else, namely the samskaras. But we do that, doesn't mean our minds are in Krishna either. Doesn't mean our mind is any more spiritual than when it began. And therefore, you know, we don't produce children which is so devotional, because we're not so devotional. Advaitacharya, who's God, he got 3 children who were devotees, and 3 children who were impersonalists. But they were exalted. Even the impersonalists, the 3 children he got who were impersonalists, even they were exalted. They were very advanced transcendentalists. So it's not that he got 3 kids who were devotees, and 3 kids became drug addicts. Therefore, it doesn't work. I mean, he was God. Obviously, his mind, where did it go? But somehow or another, he got 3 and 3. That was by his desire. But they were 6 exalted children from our point of view. Similarly, if we purify our consciousness, at least the children will become better. Will be better. And if we just become whimsical, then not only have to get the children, but then when you have the children, you know, it wasn't the kid I really wanted. I wanted, you know, someone to grow up and take care of me. Now I got so much problems with this kid, you know, and it doesn't look like he's going to take care of me anyhow, so what good is it? No, the idea is that it's supposed to be an act of devotion. You know, to bring children in the world because they're not my child, they're actually Krishna's servant, and it's my duty to raise this child to bring them back to the spiritual world. That's the service Krishna's giving me. Otherwise, in Kali Yuga, everyone's going to be disappointed if it's not done in that service attitude. Because nothing goes right practically in Kali Yuga. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantare Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.